drive-through. Everybody, we need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day. Show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live.
I'd like to say good morning to all of our friends, families, and those that came to worship the Lord today. And before I give you the little information that God has given me, since we're here in the house of God to give God all the praise, at this moment I would like for everyone in the building to stand. God has been so good to us. Even though we might not have been so good to him, he saw fit to wake us up this morning, and we are clothed in our right mind. We have a good portion of health and strength and the things that he promised us, food, raiment, and shelter. I believe that everyone in this room today have a place to go to when they leave this building. I believe that everyone in this building have clothes, because we have clothes on this morning, and we have life and we have health. And because of just that he woke us up this morning, he tapped us on our shoulder. It was not a alarm clock. It wasn't our husband or our friend or anyone. It was he that woke us up this morning. And for that, because we're in the house of God, I believe that we need to give him. And that's why I ask you to stand, to give him a standing ovation. To the God of God, to the Lord of Lords, to the King of Kings, our Savior who is so kind and who is so wonderful and who is so great. We owe him this praise. We owe him this ovation. Because if it had not been for the Lord this morning, we would not have awakened. Clap for him like you do the Super Bowl and for your team that won. Give him a yell. Give him a praise. Because he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy. He's the only one that's worthy of our praise. Praise the Lord. You can be seated at this time in the house of the Lord. I don't have anyone in the world that I love or respect more than my God. He is the love of my life. I have a gracious husband and I have 14 wonderful children, but they are secondary to my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're here today, we're here to celebrate Family and Friend Day, and we can look around us that we have a lot of family, a lot of friends that is here for us, and also Valentine's Day, which represents love. We had the information read before, and you know, information is power. If you know that you know that you know what you're talking about, you don't back down. And information is power, and what we're going to receive this morning is information about this word, this little four-letter word called love. That word has caused a whole lot of problems, because it's used so loosely. I love you, so you say. Everybody loves everybody when it's for their own purpose. So we want to give a little information this morning on love. And our topic this morning is love generates friendship. And before I go there, in the reason why we have Valentine's Day, as it was read from the legend of Valentine's Day. It was because that Mr. Valentinus did something great to help somebody else. And it's celebrated on the 14th day of February, because on the 14th day of 270 AD, he was put to death. And that is why it's celebrated on the 14th day of February. But on the day before his death, he was able to pray a prayer for his jailer's daughter, who had been blind all of her life. And the jailer asked that, because of Valentinus was so smart, he was so well educated in God, he asked if they would allow his daughter to come and visit with him to receive some of the information about God that he had. And giving her this information, she believed the information, and she knew that God was real. And she asked Valentinus to pray for her, because it was the desire of her heart to see. And he prayed the prayer because she believed. She said, "I believe, Valentinus, that God do hear our prayers." She asked him, first of all, "Do God really hear our prayers?" And we can ask that question sometime. God, are you hearing me? Where are you? Because of the circumstances and the situation that we find ourselves in. But she went to a place where she was able to receive help. And because of her belief and faith in Valentina saying, "Yes, God do hear our prayers, but he works according to what is best for us." And he said, "God is the only one that knows what is best for us." But they prayed the prayer, and immediately this young lady received her sight. She was able to see the beauty of life. And the next day he was put to death. And that is why we celebrate Valentine's Day on February the 14th. A lot of times we do these things, but we don't do them in knowledge, so we just do something. But when you do it in knowledge, you make something more important out of it. You're able to put a little bit more affection in it, because you understand that it came out of something that gave somebody life. Oh, hallelujah. And so today, for a short while, it don't take a long time to give good information, because the attention span of people are very short. And if you go too far and too long, they forgot what you begin saying at the beginning. And we would like for you to take this home with you, so we'll be short so you can remember all. Is that all right? If you pray for me, I'll get it done in a short while. Love. Love is a strong affection, unselfish, loyal, and beneficial or benevolent concern for others. Love is a strong affection, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for others. And the main objective here about love, which I don't think really people know really what love really is. Because you know what? The absolute, divine, complete love is God. Love is God, and God is love. So without God, you do not know how to love. We can say it all day long, but without God in that love, you do not know how to love.
Come on, so true.
Yes. And it says that love generates friendship. What does it generate? It brings into existence. What is friendship then? It's one attached to another by respect or affection.
Yes.
That's what friendship is. Our scripture lesson that we read this morning tells us of two important people that really knew what love was.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read you the scripture, and then I'm going to tell you about love. It should be on the board for those that didn't bring your sword to service today. This is your sword. Now, if you didn't bring this today and somebody attacked you, what you going to use? We might have to get our carnal weapons to use. But when you come to service, you have to bring your sword, because this is what we fight with. The Bible says the weapons of your warfare is not carnal, but is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know you could win a battle faster and get more victory by using this than using your own words out of your mouth. Out of your mouth, it generates hatred, it generates anger, it brings on a fight. But if you use the word of God, as he said, this is our weapon, we can get some victories. Is that all right? I said today I'm just going to give you information. Now, we can preach and make you run and hoop, do cartwheels and all those things, but I think we need a little bit more information. In the first scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, look at this scripture, don't want to be to come into play today. But it's all right. It says in the first verse, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David and his garment, even his sword and to his bow and his girdle." Now, just to read that, to have that today, in today's world, which we live, in this carnal world that we live, if a person is operating like Jonathan did with David, what would they call him? They say something wrong with them. They say something wrong with that picture. But you see, in God, if you understand this lesson, David was in line, or Jonathan was in line to receive the crown, because his father was the king. And he was supposed to inherit the crown to sit on the throne. But here is a young man that God has anointed and placed him in Saul's life. Jonathan could have been very angry, very upset, and said, "Who do he think he is? Do he think that he's going to sit on the throne which I'm supposed to sit on?"
Yeah, come on.
His father had a jealousy of David because of the fact that David had just killed Goliath. I know everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. David, as a young man, had just killed Goliath and won this great big victory. And the women in the town begin to cause trouble. No reflection on women. But women like good men, right? They like men with power, and they like men that have something to offer. So Jonathan, David had just killed Goliath. And so the women of the town, when they would go out, and Saul being the king, when the women begin to say, "Saul has killed his thousand, but David, oh man, David has killed his 10,000. And they begin to chant this over the city, "Hey, David is a little bit better than Saul." So the father was very angry with David. But look at this lesson today. It says, love generates friendship. This victory that David had received was of God. It had nothing to do with David's natural personality. It was the power of God that gave this young man boldness to stand against a giant. And also Jonathan before that had also won some victories. So Jonathan saw David in his eyes being a person like himself. But the father didn't have no understanding. He couldn't see the greatness of this young man that God was anointing. So what Jonathan did, because of the love that Jonathan had for David and knew that God was in the picture, he knew that God was doing something great with this young fella. So he said, I'm going to enhance it, even though my father is against it. Even though my father is jealous of this young man. Jonathan saw how David had to play the harp to bring his father down out of his stupor. So he was very grateful. And he took off his robe. He stripped himself of his robe and he put it upon the young man. He gave him his garment, he gave him his sword and his bow and his girdle. And David stood before his father continually. And what did Jonathan do? Jonathan protected David from his own father. Every time that something was going on, his father would have destroyed David. Jonathan, the young man, would protect him and give him the information so that he can move out the way of his own father. That's love. That's love. That's real love. That's love for somebody else. When you can protect somebody else from danger. Oh, hallelujah. When you can lift yourself against others who is going against you, and you know that this person is right, and you can stand in the gap, you can make up the head and say it ain't gonna happen. That's love. Oh, hallelujah. And this list, before we go to Jesus. Now, he's the greatest lover of them all. There are three types of love. Three components of love. I'm going to start from the second one, which is eros. This love, so when you leave this building, you're going to know within yourself what type of love you're walking in when you say, I love you. Is it the real love? Or you got a motive behind your saying, I love you? Yeah. Or I need some help from you kind of love.
Come on. Go ahead, buddy. Come on here.
Just some information. Because for myself, in order to love my children, forward to them, I had to understand each one. I couldn't group them in a group.
Come on now.
I had to work with them individually.
Yeah.
So that when it's all said and done, they all will be intelligent. They will all know that mother loved them even though she didn't work with them all the same way. I had to know the difference.
Yes.
And we need to know the difference with our children. We can't clump them together. We can't clump all our friends together. We can't make all the churches have a bad name. Eros. This type of love is an emotional and physical. This is the emotional and physical aspect of love. It is best described by emotional words. How many times you hear some sweet words in your ears?
Yeah.
Oh, they know how to put it together, right? They know what to say when they want to get what they want. It sounds so good. Just have you blushing all over the place. But you got to understand, it ain't the real thing. It is nourished. Now this type of love is nourished by hugging and touching in a non-sexual contact. This is the type of love that Jonathan had for David. He was emotional, he was physical, and they were together as one because they made a covenant, but it was a love that helped. The second one is filial. This love is the relational aspect of love, a reciprocal kind of love, the giving and receiving type of love. You give me, I give you. It is nurtured by open communication and common interests. This kind of love is an incentive to reinvest affection. It is a friendship love. It generates abundance of relational opportunities. The give and take. And if you would look in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 4. This is the type of love that we are supposed to use when we are to teach one another. That is the filial love. I'm going to read you what it says. If I can find it. Titus 2. Okay, here he is. Listen to what the type of love is supposed to be. This is from the Word of God. I don't tell you anything that is not in God's Word. This is what we're going to stand before God with. He's going to open this book. And he's going to judge every individual out of this book and what he said. Not what I believe or what I figured out to be. This is what he's going to use in the day when we all going to stand before him. Whether we're beautiful, not beautiful, old or young, we're going to leave out of here. We're not here to stay. And so we have to have information so that when he judges us, he will not judge us incorrectly. Because he said you received the information. It says in the 4th and the 5th verse of the 2nd chapter of Titus, it says that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is filial love. It communicates and it gives information to make people better than what they are. These are opportunity. This kind of love generates friendship. Every one of us have a friend. But we got to understand that our friend and our friend have a friend. So it tells us to be careful of your friend. Because everybody have a friend. And the Bible, the saying is that a friend love it at all times. A real friend love you no matter what you're going through. A friend gonna stand beside you whether they say you're good, bad, or indifferent. If you got a friend, you can tell them all about your troubles. And they will generate ways to help you. That's the filial love. And that's what it generates, friendship. Now the last love. The love that is of God. It's called agape. It's unselfish. It's unconditional. It's the type of love that it doesn't matter what it is, I'm going to love you anyhow. This is the type of love we have for others. It is energized. It energizes the eros and the filial love. If a need exists in any of these areas, agape love commit to meet those needs with no strings attached. That's God's love. That's the type of love David and Jonathan had. No strings attached. I'm going to tell you where my daddy going to be tomorrow so you don't go that place. Now, who going to go against their daddy and mama? Not too many people. I don't care how wrong my mama is, that my mama. She tell me to beat you down, I'm going to beat you down. Because that's my mama. Now, maybe mama going to stand up back and ain't going to help you. That person might be a little stronger than you. But that's not the way God gonna operate. That's not the way this agape love. It's unselfish and it's unconditional. Now this, go back to this eros love. This love has caused so many children to be in the world without fathers. This love, this eros love, this emotional love, this physical love has come out of somebody telling you, I love you. You believe it. You believe what they're saying. You take what they're saying. But where they are today, where is that person that say, I love you? And you walking around with three children, they somewhere finding somebody else to tell I love you. Where are they today? Did they have any agape love in them? Was it unconditional and unselfish? Are they still there to back you up? Agape love energizes thee to love. If they got the love of God in them, they won't tell you that lie every day. I always ask, how many people you gonna tell that same thing to that you told me? We gotta wake up, young people. We gotta wake up, everybody. Look at them real good when they say that stuff. You gonna be around when I'm carrying my little rocker baby? You gonna be around? Or are you gonna leave me to fight all by myself? Real love stays in the midst of trouble. Real love say, no matter what it is, honey, I'm with you. Oh, yes, it is. That's what God put in it. The agape love say, yes, we made a mistake, but I'm here for you. Song say, if that isn't love. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. And see, the best thing to be, to those who are thinking about being married, the best thing to do is be a friend first. Get some friendship going. And during the time of your friendship, you can see who that person really is. You will know if they are whispering out on the other side. Because a friend will be a friend. It is okay to marry your good, good friend that you've been around a long time. They know you and you know them. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of St. John. Now we have the greatest person. You see, if we can think, if we can stop a minute to think about this little word called love, the world would be so much better. The song say, what the world needs now is love, more love. That's the only thing that we have too little of. But it's the biggest word that is used all of the time. But this love needs to come out of the heart. In the book of St. John, 15th chapter, it says, beginning at verse 9, and this is what I want you to take home with you. You might have to ask for some forgiveness. Ask those around you that you said you love and you turn away from and not treating as you ought to treat. Say, forgive me. I just didn't understand the real meaning of love. It says, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Talking about Jesus Christ, the love that Jesus had. If you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another unconditionally. Unconditional, unselfishly. That you love one another. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, how many of us in this building would have a friend that will go to the death for that friend and say, no, you live, I'll take your death. I'll stand for you. We have a couple of hands in the building. That's real love. It says, there is no greater love than a man lay down his life for my friends. And it said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, this is the most important part in the scripture. You are a friend of God if you're doing what God tells you to do. If you're not doing what God tells you to do, don't classify yourself as a friend of God. You are not a friend of God. Because if you're not doing, he said, love your enemy. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Now you got to look inside yourself. It's a personal thing. Love your enemy. How many of us love our enemies? If they come to our door, we're going to feed them. We're going to give them what they need. I know you hate my guts. I know if I turn my back, you might stab me, but I'm going to give you this sandwich. He said, you are my friend if you do what I command you. You have to know what God has commanded you to do. In order to say, you're my enemy, but I love you anyhow. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. A friend don't keep secrets. Now we can look at all of this and say, my God, that cannot be real. That is not real. He said, I have told you everything about me. And I already know everything about you, so you are my friend. But you have to do what I have command you to do. And he said in the 16th verse, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now look at Jesus. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave all that he had. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. People quoted that they shall not perish, but it doesn't say that because many people who believe in the Lord is perishing. He said you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why does he say you should not perish? You should not perish if you're carrying out the command that he wrote for us to carry out. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus came down on the earth for you and me. He, as Jonathan did to David, Jesus did for you. He stripped off his royal self. Not only his royal robe, not only his royal crown, he stripped off himself. He picked up you. He dressed himself in a robe of flesh. Walk through a sinful world to taste of everything that would happen to a human being. He was rejected. He was ostracized. He was lied upon. You lie on me, you're going to get it. He suffered humiliation. He was whipped. And then they killed him. They hung him up where criminals hang. He was wearing you. He was wearing every individual in this building. Jesus was wearing you, the robe that you're dressed in. And he put it on so that we might be redeemed. He emptied himself to enrich us. He enclosed himself with rags to redeem us back to God. That's love. That's love. The Bible said they whipped him all night long and he never said a word. That's love. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. How much do we owe him? How much do we owe Jesus? Because he's already set a place for you in his kingdom, but you have a choice that you need to make if you love God more than you love yourself. He said, if any man don't love their mother and their father, their sons and their daughter more than me, if you love them more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. He don't take half deals. He wants all of you or none of you. And he said, you're my friends if you do what I've asked you to do. Love is patience. Yes. Yeah. Love is kind. Yes, it is. Love treat one another right like they want to treat themselves. Love suffers long. I'm talking about agape, unselfish, unconditional love suffers long. It's not puffed up. Love do not behave itself unseemly. And you want to find all of this commandments? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said this is what love is about. If you're not loving that way, because that's the way he said you should love, he said you're not my friend. This little word, love. God, I've seen it so much times. This word can hurt a person. You can be hurt so deeply by somebody you love turn around and treat you like they never seen you before. That's what it do you. That's what filio and eros do. It's emotional. It's physical. And when I can't get my way, I don't love you no more. Who you think you is? There's always somebody else. And they walk up and leave you standing there and have no feelings. No feelings. That's not love. That's words. That's emotional words. But love comes from the heart. You don't hurt nobody you love. You do not hurt if you love your husband or your wife or your friend. You don't hurt them because you're not selfish. You hurt people when you're selfish and you want it all for yourself. You want everything to go your way. You want everything you say to be all right. You're not listening to nothing I say, but what you say, you want it to be gospel. That's not love. That's not love. Don't let nobody fool you with those words. If you have the knowledge of what love is, you will stand up and tell into your face, hey, back off. Because you don't know what you're talking about. And you see, we need to start asking some questions. We need to know if God is really in our heart. You see, you can't do it if God ain't in your heart. Because that selfish old flesh is going to rise up. The flesh has to be under control of the spirit in order to say unconditionally, I love you. And when you have unconditional love, you don't mind suffering long. You stay with the situation. You don't walk out of it. You don't walk out of it and say, forget you, talk to the hand. Love goes through everything together. Love do not behave itself unseemingly. What love are you walking in today? Do you really love God? Because you cannot love me if you really don't love God. And you really can't love God if you don't love me. Nobody's ever seen God. Nobody has ever seen God. And in our dispensation, we never seen Jesus either. We heard about him. Yes, we heard about him. But he said, I've written my love in your heart. So when you talk love from your heart, it is something worthwhile having. How many people that you have really felt the love from somebody and it made you feel good, just wave your hand. Because you knew it was real. You knew this person was genuine. And that kind of person, hold on to them. Because somebody always on the other side trying to get them from you. Hold on to them. Don't let them go. And how many people have been hurt by somebody who say, I love you. Wave your hand. They say, I love you, but my God, the way that they treat you, the way that they operate, the way that they won't even look out for you. They're always looking out for yourself. You got to say, back off. I don't care who it is. If your husband ain't doing it, say, brother, you ain't loving me. See, can't be scared. Love ain't scared. Love tell the truth. Tell that boy, you don't love me, brother. Who you talked to last night? It wasn't me. Wasn't me. Who you told about us last night? Love cover it. Love cover everything. The Bible said love covered a multitude of sin. Hallelujah. Because we were all born in sin and saved in iniquity, but the love of God that died for us all, he covered that sin. And he said, I love you. You're my friend. Walk with me. Keep my word, and I'll carry you all the way. Now, who you know walking like that? If they ain't walking like that, my sister, give them the hand. Talk to the hand. Because it's time we're living in days that we need real people. We need honest people, young people. We need people who are going to say what they mean and mean what they say. They don't want nobody who's saying something today and doing something tomorrow. I don't care who they is. This love is real. It is attainable. You can love like that if you get with God. Tell God, teach you how to love. You got to ask God. You don't know how to love. You thought when your mom and daddy got together, that's what made you here? No, it was God. God said, I knew you before they got down together that time. I knew your name. I knew who you was going to be. And I loved you before you was born. I'm talking about agape love. If you don't remember nothing else I say today, remember the word agape love. That's the real love. Identify the filial love. Identify the eros love. And make the people know you know them. I know what you're trying to say and do, but I ain't the one. I ain't the one. Because knowledge is power. When you know that you know what you're saying, you can stand up and be counted. And God loves people with knowledge. He loves people with wisdom and understanding coming from him. Ain't no need to be a fool. Jesus did it. He touched bases with everybody. He touched bases with everything you think he was going to go through. Nobody can pull no wool over your eye. Because they think that they're the first one said that or did that. You learned that from somebody because you didn't write it. Somebody said it before you did. You ain't wrote nothing. Ain't nothing new under the sun. You just say what somebody else said. Or some paper you got up and read. We want the real thing from God. We want God to get in our heart. We want God to strengthen us and give us wisdom so this world, the people who say they love God, can be an example. Especially husband and wife. Husband and wife, let me tell you something about that. A man and a woman who said I do before the proper authority, they are the only people on earth that can represent how Christ loved the church and died and gave his life for it. That's where husband and wife are supposed to love one another. Like Christ loved the church and give themselves for one another. Not being selfish. Not hurting one another. Not destroying one another. Not listening to one another. You ain't always right and I ain't always right. But God is always right. He don't miss. He don't fail. He know how it go, but you gotta ask him. And I'm telling you, it works. It can work. It will be much more fathers in the homes and mothers in the homes if we had agape love. It would be a lot less children in the world without fathers if they knew the three types of love. When that boy want to get what he going to get, he know the word to tell you. They know what to tell you. It ain't about you, it's about what you got. Come on now. Love is a good thing. Sex is a good thing. But it's a bad thing when it's not done the way God say do it. The way God say do it. You think God don't know what sex is? He was the first one that did it. He made his son come out of him. Gave it to the world. He know about it.
He know what it feel like. He put it there for a purpose. Not to mess it up. I tell you, everybody say, I love you. Oh, girl, I'm in my... And killing one another because they mess with my girl or they mess with my man. That's crazy. Because what happened? You kill them. You in jail. The person free to go get who they want. So who lose? You lose. Because you're going to jail. So who you going to get? A jailbird? And you ain't free in jail to have no sex. So now you gotta suffer. When you could have stayed out there and been free. Say, okay, you don't want me, bye. My mama taught me two things. She said, and she in the grave and I learned. She said, never, two things don't run behind. A man on a bus. Because there's always another one coming behind. That one ain't the only one in the world. He ain't the only man in the world. And you know what else she said? She said both of them are making shame because you run to the bus to get to the door and they pull off. And you're looking for the man, he done gone somewhere else. So don't run behind a bus and a man. There's always another one coming. So please, please, let's understand true love. Let's work true love. And before you say you love somebody and all that, ask God, Lord, who is this person? Because God know everything about him. He know that what their background is, what their upground is, and he don't know. He knows the motive behind those words. And furthermore, he said, when you commit adultery, when you have marriage, when you have sex out of marriage, he said you sin against your own body. He says you sin against your own body. Because he said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You belong to God. You don't belong to nobody. Nobody own you. Yes, we signed paper for 48 years, but you don't own me. We work together. Come on, we're going to work this thing together. I'm right sometimes, you right sometimes. I'm wrong sometimes, you wrong sometimes. So let's get it together. Don't let nobody think you're stupid. But you know it takes study. Study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly divide the words of truth. You gotta study. You gotta study. And you gotta know who you are and whose you are. And where you're coming from and where you're going. Don't make the same mistakes over and over. If it's already done, it's okay. But those who ain't done it, don't do it. Two children, three children, it's all right if you got them already. But those of you got more sense, don't do it. Because it's a burden on your side. When you don't have nobody to help you. When you don't have nobody to walk beside you. It's the most beautiful thing when a man and woman can walk together. Whether you're a girlfriend and boyfriend, if you can stick together and do the things together. You take him some time, you take him some time. But most of the time, you got him all the time. Eros, philia, and agape. These love enhance one another. And that's what these married people do. Go home and get a change. Say, I'm sorry, I thought I was right all the time, but I say today I ain't right all the time. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let Mr. Brown say it real good. I'm sorry. Gotta say it with an attitude. I'm sorry. And change. And let God love you. Do what he did for you. Know that what he did for you was the greatest thing on earth. He gave you something precious. You are precious young people. You are precious married people. You are precious middle-aged people in God's sight. And don't let nobody tell you that you're nothing. Because everybody is something. And if you're not nothing to them, you are something to God. God wants us to love like he loved. This little reading says, and I'm finished, because I think you remember something. And we're going to be singing a song, and we're going to invite you to the altar for a prayer. For a prayer. It says, the gift of friendship. Friendship is a precious gift that cannot be bought or sold. But its value is far greater than a mountain made of gold. For gold is cold and lifeless. It can neither see nor hear. And in the time of trouble, it is powerless to cheer. It has no ears to listen, no heart to understand. It cannot bring you comfort or reach out a helping hand. So when you ask God for a gift, be thankful if he sends no diamonds, pearls, or riches, but the love of a true friend. Yeah. Make your friends your friend. Husband and wife, your husband or your wife should be your best friend. You're supposed to be able to tell them any and everything. Not to the woman in the office, because alrighty, she got you when you start talking to her. Because the next day she's going to dress up real good so you can tell her some more. Every day she's going to look better and better. And now you don't want to go home. Make your husband or wife, or if you got a boyfriend or whoever, make them your best friend if you feel like they are worthy and they are qualified to become husbands. Not no any and anybody. You don't want them. You don't need them. Because they're going to leave you high and dry when they get what they're after. Come on, y'all. We're going to be wise in the Lord. We're going to be strong. We're going to be better people in this world, so the devil can know that we're together. And it'll be so much better on your nerves. Stress will cause sickness, diseases. Get rid of stress by placing love in your heart. The love of God. The love of God that far passes any other love. Any other love. There is no love greater than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. You are his friends if you do whatsoever he commands you to do. Go and study the commandments. I'm not talking about the one Moses wrote. Go into 1 Corinthians 13 and see what he told you to do. And follow it. And you will see a change in your life. Is there anyone in the building that would love to have a prayer that the love of God will fall fresh on you today? A fresh anointing of love.